But we're going to keep our feet on the ground this morning, on the bog, and look at how our relationship with the bog has, in the past few years, rapidly changed from one of extraction and industrial peat production to one of creation and restoration. The landscape painter T.P. Flanagan described the bog as the fundamental Irish landscape, which has a primeval connection to those who've gone before us. For poet Seamus Heaney, our bogs are a dark casket where we found many of the clues to our past. But what of their future? Well, communities all around the country are reshaping how they interact with their local bogs, as we now all fully realise just how much they have to offer. As sponges for water and carbon, they soak up more carbon than almost any other ecosystem on Earth, and extraordinary places for life. David Attenborough calls bogs the cradles of biodiversity. And as you're going to hear, bogs are also places for people to come together. And that's particularly true of here in Carberry Bog, which the community has owned and managed for 120 years. Now, much of this raised bog is legally protected, but a section in the northwest which isn't protected has long been legally cut for turf. Today, it is a source of fuel for about 100 families. Tommy Knowles has been involved in the Carberry community group here for over 45 years. Sort of squelchy, isn't it?
It is. At this time, it doesn't feel too different from walking on a farm. But some of the time, there's low spots in the bog, and the water fills into it. The turf is cut by a contractor up there at the face bank.
Do you still burn the turf?
Yes. We burn turf, yes. We have oil, but we burn turf as well. It's a kind of a tradition. It becomes a sort of a habit, I suppose, to burn turf. We have a bog committee of a number of trustees, but their approach is, and I'd be probably one of them, is that we will try to keep cutting turf here for the people who want it. The demand for turf is very slowly reducing, and hopefully, eventually, well, it'll phase itself out. I suppose we'd like to see the turf stopping as a result of people not wanting it, rather than being forced to stop cutting.
And you said the word hopefully there. Is it what you hope?
Yes, that'd be what I'd hope. There's quite a bit of virgin bog up there as well, and I would be inclined to like to see the bog being preserved, or probably re-wet it or use for environmental purposes.
It's a very distinctive quiet, isn't it, being on a bog?
Well, it is, yeah. I suppose years ago, what people used to always like on the bog is the tea. They always claim bog tea was better than any other tea. I don't know.
It's because you've earned it. Yeah.
Probably.
Now people are out on the bog, enjoying it, re-wetting it, photographing it.
That's right,
to the
yeah,
birds.
Yeah. I know, we were out breathing myself, my wife. We took a trip out.
Well, the legal right of the community to cut and remove turf from this part of the bog will continue. But this group is also at the forefront of shaping a new future, which involves restoration. The man at the centre of this is farmer and forester Ciarán Duggan, who's chairman of the Carberry Bog Trust.
We're now off down in probably one of the most inaccessible parts of the bog here. This part of the bog, we call it Fria. It's the town's land.
To get to a part of the Carberry Bog that was historically cut but has now been left to nature, Ciarán brought me through a 4-acre field that he bought 30 years ago, which is just on the edge of the bog.
This little field we're in, I started to rewild this back in the year 2000 when nobody even heard of rewilding. It's been left to nature effectively since.
The butterflies are everywhere.
It's for even on this evening when it's wet. And if you look across it, it's full of meadowsweet. Wonderful plant for insects and all that kind of thing. I'm not an ecologist. I'm very much an amateur, but I love nature and everything to do with it. One of the other things about this field, it's half mineral soil and half peat soil, so you're on the edge here, the original edge of the bog. So if you could imagine the raised bog slowly spilling out across the mineral land, that's what you would have had here. So roughly where we're standing here would have been where the turf cutting started by hand, and it would have worked its way right in through. This is the future. I really think this nature taking back over and doing its thing is the future.
So we're walking out of the fields, the rewilded field, through a little, kind of like a little copse. Ivy underfoot, lots of dead trees, ferns everywhere.
If we keep going here, we will eventually come out to High Bog. Reindeer Lichen is just behind us here. This is the Reindeer Lichen.
Sort of mint colour, isn't it?
If you get me starting about lichen, lichen is a wonderful, wonderful life form. It's it's neither a plant nor fungus. It's a cooperation between both. It's magical stuff. This is the piece de la resistance. This is the magic plant.
Sphagnum.
Sphagnum, yeah. And even though that's really, really dry there, with all the water that comes out of it when I squeeze it. One of the issues I see with the discussion around bog restoration is that we're all heavily influenced by our thinking around our own lifetimes. We are strongly influenced by the three generations that went before us, and we will heavily influence the three generations coming after us. Nature conservation isn't about now necessarily. It's about the future, and indeed the past, but the future measured in centuries and millennia, not short human lifetime. In the last couple of generations, we have shortened that thinking to what can I make this year, and we're measured financially in quarters. We need to start spreading that out. And for bog restoration, that's what we have to think about. There's a little over 480 acres in total. There's approximately 80 acres of that has been cut over. And that has happened over the last 250 years. We still cut turf for a little over 100 local families. We cut something under half an acre per year into the remaining 400 acres.
What do you say when people say, we can't cut turf anymore? That's yesterday's business.
I largely agree, except the cutting of turf is an important economic, cultural activity that's very rooted in our identity here around the Midlands bogs. One of the issues that is not understood, we were very lucky in Ireland back about 120 years ago, just before we got our independence. Most of the tenant farmers in Ireland got to buy out and own their own land. Some in society, agricultural labourers and stuff, lost out in that lottery at that time. And in a lot of Midland counties, those families tied to the land was manifest through their annual turf cut. And that's a strong draw. If you want people in the Midlands to, and they're usually very logical, straight-talking people, if you want to get them to become illogical, talk about the bog and talk about taking them away from the bog or the bog being taken away from them.
Because it's emotional.
Because it's emotional. The bog is part of us. You can take the man out of the bog, but you cannot take the bog out of the man.
Everything that you're saying, Ciarán, it isn't about the industrial removal of peat, is it?
Absolutely not. Mm-hmm. Absolutely not. It's for people's own domestic use only. Since day one, when the social enterprise was set up, that has been a condition.
What do you want to happen to Carberry Bog in the future?
I'm passionate about nature, as you can probably see already. I'm passionate about people and about community. We can continue to cut turf for as long as people need to, for whatever reason. And we can also embrace conservation and indeed restoration. Bogs came of nature. We came of nature. We still are. We're all part of the same family of life. We've grown up with these bogs. We just need to make friends with them again. Yeah, the wind is dropping down now, and we had better get out of here because the midges won't be long now before they'll come out. The wind has been helping us up till now.
They'll eat us alive.
We'll be eaten alive. Yeah. And so if the bog holes don't get us, then the midges will.
Ciarán Duggan, and before him Tommy Knowles of the Carberry Bog Trust.